It's hard to read the news these days without asking yourself, how did we get here? Fiasco is a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which resulted in a high-stakes stalemate, ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We're going to talk about the military taking on the American people. That'll be light and fluffy and fun. Let's talk about an AK-47. What do I think about those things? Why don't I laugh more on TV like I do on radio? Someone wants to argue with me about chopsticks. We'll make fun of Lindsey Graham. All that and so much more is coming this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I do have to play this little bit too. This is from Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson. But just remember this. We call it communism, Marxism, because that really is the governing religion behind so much of what we see. But in the end, on an even more macro level than that, what is it? What is it? Well, it's just people in power acquiring more money and power for themselves and destroying everyone else in the process. It's a tale as old as time. It's not like the communists are the first ones who have understood this concept. They may have taken it to greater extremes than other people have before. Communists really have been more willing than, honestly, about anyone else I can think of in world history to murder their own people. Plenty of people have been conquerors and murderers and genocidal maniacs. The communist will look at his own country and burn it to the ground. It's really, really demonic. But in the end, it's just about getting richer and more powerful. Remember the communists in North Korea? The Kim family? They own a lot of mansions. What is that? I forget what the name of that fancy liquor is. Hennessy. It was Hennessy. The current Kim, his dad, he was the largest purchaser by far of Hennessy on the planet. Lenin ate a lot of steak dinners. So did Stalin. Pol Pot lived real, real well. That dirtball in Venezuela, oh boy, it's private air travel, pretty girls, juicy steaks. Everyone else dies. Everyone else starves or is murdered by the regime. But in the end, it's all just a scam. Mayor Brandon Johnson, he has been caught, if you will, dropping 30 G's of taxpayer money on things like hair and makeup. Dude's got a crew cut. He's dropping 30 G's on hair and makeup. And this is what he said about
the Sun-Times story last week about your spending of $30,000 from your campaign fund for hair and makeup.
Okay. Sorry, campaign fund, not taxpayer money, campaign fund.
Can you respond to that and explain why you think that's an appropriate use of the campaign dollars? It to many people seems like a lot of money.
I think it's always appropriate to make sure that we're investing in small businesses, especially minority-owned, black-owned, women-owned businesses. Our campaign spends money on food. We support black and brown-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, printing. There are a number of things that my campaign spends.
Well, of course, he's just out there helping the black and brown people. Of course, in the end, for all these people, as soon as you move from being a street scumbag and you get promoted into being an elite scumbag, in the end, it's just about money and power, like so much of the rest of it. Or anyway, hey, wise and balding Oracle. That's not very nice. Every time the topic occurs about people versus the government, you explain that the people have more arms than the government, despite not having planes or cannons or whatever. My question is, if told to attack the people, what percentage of enlisted service members, three-letter agencies, and Capitol Police would say no and defy orders? I don't think this thought has been addressed, but I wonder about it each time. What say you, emailing from my Pure Talk phone and haven't heard the Frito Bandito in a while, and his name is Russell. Okay, let's give Russell what he asked for.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos.
Now let's have a talk. In fact, we haven't covered this story in a long, long time. Well, it's covered a story. We're talking about a book, an event in world history. But it is beneficial for what we're dealing with now to answer the question the guy has. When the commies finally decide that they're in a position of power and they start ordering us to be shot, how many are going to go along with it? Army, FBI, cops. Well, there's a book I've told you about many times before. One I would really recommend you read. Probably not for the kids. It's a heavy, heavy read. But the book is called Ordinary Men. That's the name of the book. It's called Ordinary Men. And here's what it's about. It's about a reserve police battalion of the Nazis in World War II. Now, I need to clarify a couple things about who these guys were before I just do a real brief thing on the story, okay? These were not technically Nazis. These weren't SS types, kill all the Jews, right? These were reservists. They were older. They weren't the young 20-year-old tip-of-the-spear fighting men. These were the accountants, the lawyers, the construction workers who get called up from the reserves to do relatively safe things during the war, meaning the area they were put in charge of had already been conquered, pacified, all the enemy is gone. You bring up the reservists. Why? They're essentially there to do roadblocks, to take care of crime, to just do basic things, stand guard over the armory. That's all these guys are there for. They're reservists. That's what they're there to do. And the book follows the path of these guys. But the beginning is the most interesting part. It's all really ugly, don't get me wrong. But the beginning is the part that has always captured imagination, certainly mine. There's 500 of these guys. And their commander gets word from on high, hey, there's a village over here, and it's full of Jews. We need you to go to this village. March all the men out of the village. They're going to go to labor camps. The women and children, you guys need to go dig a bunch of deep holes, take them into the woods, and shoot them all in the back of the head. Now, I need to stress again, these are not kill all the Jews Nazi types. Not everyone in the German army at all was like that. These are tubby reservists. And the commander, when he's given this order from on high, hates it. He's despondent. He's disgusted by it. He can't believe this is what he's been ordered to do. And so he stands in front of his unit of 500 men and says, we've just been ordered to kill a bunch of women and kids. Anyone who doesn't want to do this, I'm giving you permission right now. You can back out of this. You do not have to do this. You're not going to be what the court-martialed, or there'll be no punishment or anything. If anyone doesn't want to go shoot women and children, you can back out of this right now. 500 men. Do you know how many said, I'm out? 10. 490 men went along with it. Some enthusiastically, I'm sure. Most, the vast majority, very reluctantly. They were worried about the social stigma. I don't want to look weak in front of my friends. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And the book really chronicles it from there. Go pick it up. It's a fascinating read. They go, they kill all these women and children. It's a terrible, terrible story. But then the book, it covers these guys and the things they did from the rest of the war. And that first night after they'd killed all these guys, they were despondent. They wouldn't eat. They were drinking. They had nightmares. By the end of the war, they looked forward to the next village. It just goes through the breakdown of their morality, of their mentality, to where they went from hating it, but agreeing to do it, to getting more and more comfortable with it, to looking forward to it. That is not a story about Holocaust and Nazis. I mean, obviously it is. That's obviously a part of that story. That is a story about human nature. And there are a million examples of human nature. And we're going to dig into this in a little more depth here in a moment. I know
it is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
But it is something we have to talk about. Now, let's talk about something wonderful. Not heavy, wonderful. Tunnel to Towers. You know that Tunnel to Towers, on top of Gold Star families paying off their mortgages, fallen first responder families paying off their mortgages. Remember Jonathan Diller, that NYPD cop just lost his life? Boom, Tunnel to Towers stepped right in, paid off the mortgage for his widow and child. I mean, that's the kind of things they do. So they're incredible. You know, they also are helping homeless veterans. They have a homeless veteran program getting these men and women off the streets, out of dire straits, and back into the world. This is honestly, it's the most blessed organization dedicated to doing good. And they put the money you give them where you want it to go, which is sadly very, very rare in the nonprofit world. They ask for $11 a month. T2T.org. That's T2T.org. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Chris, Michael, I will continue that conversation we were just having about Mexican food. I want to tell you what happened last night, and now we're going to have that conversation in front of the entire country, but this is after I finish my story. No, I'll tell you, it's a great story. I'm about to help you out. Anyway, back to what we were discussing. The question, in case you missed it, was, hey, what percentage of the military would fire on American citizens if they were ordered to? FBI, cops, who? What percentage? And I was telling the story, the brief story of the book Ordinary Men, Reserve Police Battalion under Nazi Germany, go kill a bunch of Jews. They don't want to do it, but only 10 of the 500 refuse. The rest of them agree to go along with it. Eventually, they get comfortable with it. Eventually, they look forward to it, right? So that's the story. Look, the book goes into a lot more depth. Highly recommend it. But let's set that aside for a moment, because I do need to clarify a couple things, at least about that portion of the story. The guys in that battalion, that reserve police battalion, they were from a society where there was some Jewish people sucked stuff already built into them. It was already baked into the cake. No, I am not saying everyone in Germany at that time wanted the Jews to go to the death camps. Not at all. Most of the Germans didn't even know about the friggin' death camps. But because of some long religious tensions, remember, there have been religious tensions between Catholics and Jews, Christians and Jews for a very, very, very long time. Obviously, when it comes to Jesus or not Jesus, that's a big thing. And back in the day, that really was, you'd get physical about something like that. It's much less so today, but back then, when both the Jewish faith and the Christian faith were more aggressive when it came to enforcing what they wanted, that could end up with swords clashing, right? That was a big deal for the longest time. So there were already tensions there. And then when you build on those tensions in Germany, throughout Europe, actually, once the Nazis started taking over, the depth, the lengths they went to taint Judaism and Jews in the minds of the German people, it was pretty deep. If you could take a poll of German people back then, and not ask them if they wanted all the Jews gassed and murdered, but if you were to poll the German people and ask them, hey, if you had your way, would you live around Jews? You'd be shocked at the numbers of them that would have said, well, no, actually, no. That didn't mean they wanted them gassed, but they don't want them there. They don't. You see what I mean? So in the basic German population, through endless amounts of propaganda, you had already baked into the cake some Jewish people suck thing. So that is going to skew those numbers we just talked about. 500 men, only 10 of them refuse. So now let's go to America. Let's talk about us. Let's understand a couple things. There are differences between what you asked me, meaning you asked about law enforcement, cops, three-letter agencies, and the military. Let's focus on law enforcement for a moment. Let's begin there. Well, it's going to depend, and this is what I mean. If the Capitol Police, okay, that's a great example because that's the one you mentioned. We'll go with that. That's the Washington, D.C. police, the police of the Capitol. That is a despicable, communist, filthy organization full of a bunch of America-hating freaking dirtballs. If the Capitol Police were ordered to open fire on you and your family, they would do so without a moment of hesitation. Now, let's forget that. Let's set them aside. Let's use a different extreme example. Let's go to, I mean, what's the reddest state in the union? Wyoming, Idaho, somewhere like that. You know what? Forget that. Let's go down south. This would be a better example. South Carolina, North Carolina. Well, pick your thing. And let's get out of a city. We're not in any of the big cities. Let's go to a country jurisdiction. So that's going to be run by a sheriff. Not local cops. It's going to be run by a sheriff in a county that votes about 95% Republican. If somebody came and ordered that sheriff to go fire on his own people, depending on where you were, that sheriff might kill you. If you pulled that in Louisiana with the wrong parish, they're probably going to feed you to the gators in a place like that. So that's going to, local cops, it's going to depend on the jurisdiction. That's the truth. Now, let's set local cops aside. Or, you know what, along those same lines, state troopers. Dude, state troopers are hardcore righties. Hardcore righties. You get into a big city police department, that's where you're going to have major problems. State troopers, not so much. All right, so let's set cops aside. Let's talk about the three-letter agencies. These are federal government employees. And the federal government has been killing itself, bending over backwards for years to ensure that these three-letter agencies are filled with people who hate you. Why do you think the FBI is recruiting at Pride events? Pride events are despicable degeneracy. We're talking adults dancing naked in front of children. That's degeneracy. That's disgusting. Why would the FBI have a booth recruiting there? Because they're bringing those people in. Do you remember after St. George Floyd died? There's a picture. You can go look it up if you'd like. It's available. We're online. There's a picture of FBI agents in uniform kneeling before Black Lives Matter. If it's a three-letter agency, oh, the answer will be yes when the orders are given. Now let's set them aside and let's talk about the military. Before we get to the military, let's do this. Let me remind you that hard assets, they're what we have now and they're what we're going to have going forward. This problem is not about to get better.
Higher prices for food and labor have forced some restaurants to declare bankruptcy or close locations, including Red Lobster, Applebee's, and California-based Rubio's. 80% of Americans now consider fast food a luxury item.
Do you have hard assets yet? The value of your dollar is going down, and there's no end in sight to the spending and printing. The value of the dollar is going down. What have you done to prepare yourself? Get some gold or silver. Don't care what color it is. Get it in your IRA. Get it in your physical possession. Do not sit on this. Get on this and get what you can. Don't bankrupt yourself, but get what you can, okay? 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
In the aftermath of a transformative election like the one we just had, it's hard to read the news without asking yourself every 5 seconds, how did we get here? That's exactly what we're always trying to figure out on Fiasco, a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which came down to a recount in Florida and ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. In many ways, it's the beginning of the story we're living through right now. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore, and find out how a statistical tie in the Florida vote count put the nation into an unprecedented holding pattern, during which American voters waited with bated breath to find out whether Al Gore or George W. Bush would be the next president of the United States. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. I'm answering the question about, guy asked, hey, what percentage of the local cops or the three-letter agencies or the military would attack the American people if ordered to do so? And I told you, when it comes to local cops, totally going to depend on the jurisdiction. Some rural Red County sheriff, absolutely not. You'll be okay. Some big city, D.C., you better watch yourself. State troopers, you'll be okay. You're in L.A., watch yourself. And then it's just Rodney King who has to worry about the LAPD. Now, three-letter agencies, every one of them would. Just assume they're all bad, because the ones that aren't would still follow orders, right? Now, set them aside. The American military. Now, this is going to depend on a lot of things. I will tell you something that I was told. One third of the Green Berets, this was told to me by a Green Beret who's currently in. He said, I believe one third of the Green Berets who are currently serving would attack the American people if ordered to do so. One third. That's the best. The Green Berets are the best of the best. The tip of the spear. That's a third of them. Now, let's work our way down. In fact, let me read this email to kind of make my point I'm about to make. And I realize it's a heavy point, but just hear me out. Jesse, I hear your point about the military being built up to turn against the people. I also hear your point about the caliber of soldier that the military is being built up with. If a group of these soldiers come and take away citizens' guns, shots ring out. I'm picturing a bunch of soldiers scattering. Lack of a better way to put it, the guy says, I'm not worried about it because the American military is being weakened with all this DEI, diversity crap, and all this other stuff. He said, I'm not worried about it. But this is actually something that should concern you. And it should concern you for this reason. In general, a strong man, a genuine strong man, is not the one you really have to worry about as much doing something evil and murderous towards you. If you see the picture of some Delta Force guy, and he's got a beard, and he's got a bunch of unsightly tattoos, and he's strong, and he's fast, and he's deadly, and you know it, can that guy kill you? Oh, yeah, no question. Kill you, me, and everyone you know without breathing. But is that guy one of these hard-charging but also thinking types? Is that the type of guy who might not follow orders and he really, really is not going to kill women and children for the most part? Yeah, strong men don't do that. That's not what strong men do. Now, you're filling up the military with a bunch of LGBTQ filth, a bunch of the civil rights commies. You're filling up the military with a bunch of feminazis and all kinds of other things. What are these people? Angry, bitter, and weak. I remember seeing a little video of a Navy sailor. This is a couple weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago. He put some video up on his social media. of him transforming into drag and in full makeup prancing like a woman across the deck of an aircraft carrier. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Chris? You saw it. I saw it too. Everyone saw it. That little fruitcake, would follow orders and would probably very much enjoy doing so. Weak men, those are the ones you need to be worried about. No, it's not the strong guy. It's honestly, it's not the... If you told me that I had to take my wife into a bar with a bunch of biker gangs, banditos, Hells Angels types, or I had to take her in to some LGBTQ bar, if you asked me which one I would feel safer with, shoot, I'd go to the biker bar right now. I love bikers. I always get along with them great. Is she going to hear some salty language? Yep. When I go hit the head, is someone going to hit on her? No question about it. I'm probably going to be just fine in that bar. The other place, well, that's where the predators are. That's where the predators are. And that's what I've tried to explain to you about what's happening in the military, because you love the military and I love the military. And you love America and I love America. And therefore, you want the military to be strong and you view it as something that's going to protect America. And that's how I view it. Understand that the communist is not destroying the military. He is building a military. He is building a military to do exactly what you want the military to do. You want the military to do what? Attack America's enemies. Oh, the communist is doing the exact same thing. The difference, of course, is who do you think the enemies are versus who he thinks the enemies are. How many? We have the president of the United States of America, the man who is the commander in chief. He has repeatedly called Trump supporters an end of democracy, a threat to democracy, a threat to our foundation. And this is not a one-off for Joe Biden. The people who command the military think like this, talk like this, and they are building a military that will act on this.
The United States and the world owe a debt to the ancient Greek ideas that first taught us that we, the people, and the demos, our democracy, can control our own destiny. And you made us believe it. In the idea that has endured for a millennia, but it's also an idea that every generation has had to fight to uphold. Every generation has to defeat democracy's mortal foes, because in our imperfect world, appetites and ambitions of a few forever seek to dominate the lives and liberties of the many. And sadly, we have both discussed, including the Summit of Democracies last year, that democracy is more under assault today than including in the United States than any time in the recent past. But the Greek people know, just as the American people do, that freedom and democracy are worth sacrificing for.
That's one of a million clips I could have played for you. Remember what Corinne Diversity Hire said the day after Joe Biden gave that really dark speech calling Trump supporters a threat to democracy? Remember how he had the United States Marines behind him, which is never done. You don't bring in uniformed military personnel when you're giving a political speech. If you're giving a presidential, State of the Union, something along those lines, yes. When you're giving a speech as a Democrat or as a Republican, you don't bring in the military. And Corinne Diversity Hire was rightfully asked. She was asked, hey, Corinne, the Marines? Why?
The presence of the Marines at the speech was intended to demonstrate the deep and abiding respect the president has for these service members, to these ideals, and the unique role our independent military plays in defending our democracy.
You're a threat to democracy. You're a threat to democracy. You're a threat to democracy. Hey, what's with the Marines? All those guys? They defend democracy. The American communist is not destroying the military. He is building a new one. A new one for a new purpose. Let me ask you something, if you think this is over the top. If you put in front of Joe Biden today, AOC, Nancy Pelosi, pick your Democrat. If you put in front of them a bona fide member of the Chinese Communist Party who's working day and night to subvert the United States of America, or a Trump supporter wearing a MAGA hat, and he had to eliminate one, which one would he eliminate? You already know the answer. They're building one. Keep that in mind. All right, that's enough heavy for a little bit. Let's get on to some other stuff, all right? Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. That shows you how dated Tom Petty's music is. If you live like a refugee today, that means Americans will pay for everything for you. You just come into America, here's a Visa card and a luxury hotel. We'll fly you wherever you want. Anyway, I owed you this because I promised it to you before I get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse question. So I took the wife out last night and we went to this little local Mexican restaurant. I needed to get away from the kids. All right, look, every now and then, the boys, all they want to do was roughhouse, and I just needed an hour with some Mexican food, okay? And then I went home, and I beat the snot out of them. Anyway, we took the wife out to some Mexican food, and she got the chicken fajitas. I got beef fajitas. I'm generally not a fajita man. I'm more of an enchilada man, a quesadilla man, birria. Chris, you don't understand that. That's Mexican for gravy or whatever, but it's delicious. Anyway, I'm not a fajita man much, but I got beef fajitas last night. She got the chicken fajitas. Only this place, they had something you could add to it that I'd never heard of or experienced before. A lot of you may have heard of it. I never
have. Buenas tardes.
It had what was called berry. You could add berry or a berry sauce or something like that to it. Something berry. I don't know how to say it exactly. But here's what it was. It was a bunch of serrano peppers. And then it was kind of like a marsala sauce, like a mushroom wine sauce. It was the best thing I've ever eaten. Now, you may be asking why I got it. Because, of course, I got my beef fajitas and she got her fajitas and she liked the looks of mine more than hers. So I had to switch it out. Best thing that ever happened to me. I highly, highly recommend it. It was awesome. Absolutely awesome. Dear Sombrero Dong Oracle, my family got some wonderful health news this week. As a Christian, of course, I immediately praise and gave thanks to the Lord. Then I fired up some Elvis gospel music. Do you have a favorite gospel song? Swing Down Sweet Chariot and I'll Have a New Body or Two of Mine. I love the show. Despise Commies. Happy Father's Day. Preach on. His name is Jordan. I have always been an Amazing Grace guy. I love the song, but I have an axe to grind with the people who sing Amazing Grace. This is, Chris, do you know the song? I realize it talks about Jesus, but you know the song. Everyone knows the song. The greatest verse of the song is the one almost everyone cuts out of the song because it's been covered by a million different singers, male singers, female singers, R&B, country, you name it. Everyone sings the first two and the last verse. But the greatest of the verses is the third verse. It's the one that goes, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. That's the most beautiful verse in the song, and most people don't even know what's in the song because for some explicable reason, every one of you pop stars cuts that verse out. Cut out the last one, or cut out the first one, or do me a favor and just sing the whole friggin' thing. I didn't mean to start yelling, hey, Lord, I didn't mean to start yelling about Amazing Grace. I apologize for that. I've had a lot of caffeine today. That's going to be on me, all right? That's going to be on me. You know what I'll do to punish myself? Well, to be honest, it's going to be to punish myself and the boys. So I have this plan for the weekend. You see, Sunday's Father's Day. The family's already going to take me out to lunch. I know this. I am forcing them to watch a documentary after I'm done with me. I'll make it an hour or two. I don't want to torture them, but I have to always hear, ah, you're such a dork with your documentaries. You're such a dork with it. Guess what? It's Father's Day. I get to do whatever I want, and they're going to sit there and watch a documentary with me. I haven't even decided which one it's going to be yet. And lastly, so I have this plan.
And the boys aren't listening right now, so I can tell you what the plan is. You know, I've told you about my Byrna pistol launcher. It's these non-lethal pistol launchers. They shoot pepper balls or tear gas balls or practice rounds, keep in mind, or kinetic rounds, which are just the hard plastic ones. Anyway, it would set all that stuff aside for a moment. Practicing with it is something my boys and I love to do. You go right in the backyard and they send you this target with it and you practice. And it's a blast. It's something you can do anywhere. You know, you can just go practice with it. And I do this a lot with the boys. Only on Sunday, instead of the practice rounds, I think they're filled with baby powder or something like that. Instead of the practice rounds, I'm going to have the boys practice up close. I'm going to, because I do this sometimes different distances, and I'm going to tell them, hey, we need to practice our 5-foot distances, and I'm going to put the tear gas rounds in there. What, Chris? And it's going to be hilarious. Absolutely. They're not going to be bad. It's outside. I mean, yeah, that there may be some pain, but that's not my problem. Anyway, do you have your Byrna pistol launcher yet? It'll save your life and you can torment your children with it for Father's Day. In fact, it's the Father's Day gift for Dad. In all seriousness, keep this thing on you. They're incredible. I love having a non-lethal option with my lethal option. Byrna.com/Jesse gets you 10% off. BYRNA.com/Jesse. It'll not only save your life, you'll be able to torment your kids. Hey, Jesse, if an AK-47 is as heavy as 10 boxes you might be moving, how many boxes does Rambo's huge gun weigh? That's a very good point. Rambo's gun, honestly, 20 boxes?
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
It's got to be 20 boxes. It has to be. Jesse, I listen to you every day when watching your TV show. You don't laugh like you do on radio versus TV. I understand your limits. My question is, why can't you laugh on your TV show? Awesomeness on your military service. I love you, man. So on and so forth. Well, I do a TV show every night on the first TV. Every night after this show, I do a TV show. And actually, someone just asked me yesterday which one I like more. And I like them both for different reasons. TV is, there's a visual element to TV that I really enjoy. Because I talk with my hands. And if you watch the radio show on simulcast, you know this to be true. I talk with my hands. I roll my eyes. I make facial expressions. I do all kinds of things. I don't do this on purpose. It's just naturally how I talk and how I try to get a point across. I do it with my kids, right? That's just how I talk. I like that part of TV. I like that people can see me do it. However, TV is so much more structured than radio is. It is just so structured with how the breaks work and how the guests work and how everything is laid out. TV is much more scripted and structured. Even though I don't have a teleprompter or writers or anything, it's just me. It's much more structured. Radio, I love radio because it is completely freewheeling. At least if you do it like we do it. I realize most other shows are probably a bit more structured than this one, but we don't structure anything here. The show is not scripted out. We don't write anything down. We have a bunch of stories out. I'll pick my favorites, and we'll just kind of riff and start talking about life and sound, and we'll joke, and I'll talk about fajitas and other things. I probably laugh more on radio because, if I'm being honest, while I like them both, as far as pure fun goes, radio's more fun. You can't do that on TV. You can't do that. All right, we still have a whole hour. I have a stack of questions, but I'm up to the task. Hang on.
It's hard to read the news these days without asking yourself, how did we get here? Fiasco is a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which resulted in a high-stakes stalemate and ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.